sisters to hang out on this lovely day. How great it is for brothers and sisters to hang out on this day.
Welcome, Shabbat Shalom. I guess winter is really here now. So thank you for coming out from underneath your down blankets and to be in the warm embrace of your TBS family this evening as we usher in Shabbat, the last one before what comes next week? Hanukkah. Thank you to Janet Christensen for ably co-leading this evening with Rob Weissman in our music. And Eve Courtney's name is in your service folder, but she was unable to be here. But we will carry on in her musical spirit. Sixth and seventh graders in the house. Our B'nai Mitzvah class and our almost B'nai Mitzvah class. We're always filled with pride to see our soon-to-be Jewish adults participating so fully in our service. Our service tonight involves a lot of congregational participation as we talk about the complicated personal and family life of Joseph, whose very long life story starts in this week's Torah portion. Whatever has brought you here tonight, whether you are new or seasoned, a longtime member or a visitor, here for song or for prayer or for community or for remembering a loved one or praying for strength for yourself or someone else in your life, thank you for bringing your heart and soul to make our Shabbat worship so meaningful. We welcome our Shabbat angels into our midst with Shalom Aleichem on page 10.
Shalom Aleichem, Malachei Yashare, Malachei Elyoni, Melech Malachei HaMalachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shalom Aleichem, Malachei Yashare,
sixth and seventh grade teachers who bring the light of knowledge and understanding to our sixth and seventh graders will now bring light to us as they come forward. Alan Berkowitz, Frank Cohn, Jan Rose Marin, Alex Eichel, Deborah Koblenz, bringing Shabbat light to our sanctuary, candlelighting blessing, reading and prayer on pages 11 and 12.
Oh. As these Shabbat candles give light to all who behold them, so may we in our lives give light to all who behold us. As their brightness reminds us of the generations of Israel who have kindled light, so may we in our own day be among those who kindle light.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kidshanu v'mitzvotav v'tzivanu v'hadlik ner shel Shabbat.
Blessed are you, Adonai our God, ruler of the universe, who makes us holy with your mitzvot and commands us to kindle the lights of Shabbat.
Another welcoming Shabbat song, Lecha Dodi, page 14.
Thank you.
our seventh graders will come forward to lead us in Chetzi Kaddish. Any time now. Okay. Thank you. So you can spread out among the mics. Reader's Kaddish, page 15. Like 5 steps forward, everybody. Yid gada, the yid gada, shave rutha. The alma dibra hirute. The yam lich mahute. The chayehon, uviomehon, uvehaye, de hobet Israel. Bagala, bagala, uvis man kari. Amen. Amen. Yeheshme Rabba Mevarach Le'alam Olal Me'almaya Yitbarach Yitbarach Ve'yishtabach Ve'yitpa'ar Ve'yitromam Ve'yitnaseh Ve'yitadar Ve'yitale Ve'yitalal Shemei dekudasha berichu. Leila min kol berachata v'shirata.
Tush bechata v'nechem matza. Da'ami hiran b'yama. Ve'imeru
amen. Yashar koach, seventh graders, you may sit. And we are going to do the first of our three parts of the life of Joseph. So get ready to participate. The story of Joseph is the longest single story in the book of Genesis. His story starts in this week's Torah portion and continues on for the next 3 weeks. We are going to do 3 mini Torah study sessions this evening, and I'll be asking you to share your thoughts on 3 different pieces of Joseph's story. It's a congregational do-it-yourself sermon. So I'm about to read from a part from this week's portion, Vayeshev, and we can look at it together on your handout. You all have a handout, and this is part 1 from Genesis 37, and I'll be asking the questions that are on the bottom of this section. So as I read through, think about what do you see as problems in this family? Who is responsible? Who do you think is responsible for the problems? And what do we learn from this piece about creating healthy families? Okay, here is the story. Jacob was settled in the land of his father's journeys in the land of Canaan, and these are the generations of Jacob. When Joseph was 17 years old, he was a shepherd, he was with his brothers with the flocks, and he was a lad, and with the sons of Bilhah, with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought bad reports about them to their father. And Israel, remember Israel is Jacob's other name, we just read about that last week, loved Joseph more than all his sons because he was a son of his old age, and he made Joseph a fine ornamented coat. And his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all the brothers, the other brothers, so they hated him, and they could not speak with him peacefully. And Joseph dreamed a dream and told his brothers, and they continued to hate him. And he said to them, "Listen now to this dream that I have dreamed. We were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright, and behold, your sheaves encircled it and bowed low to my sheaf." So his brothers said to him, "Will you reign over us or govern us?" And they continued further to hate him on account of his dreams, on account of his words. And he again dreamed another dream, and he told it to his brothers, and he said, I have dreamed another dream, and behold, the sun, the moon, and 11 stars were all bowing down to me. And he told it to his father and to his brothers. And his father berated him and said to him, what is this dream you have dreamed? Will we come, I and your mother and your brothers, to bow down to you to the ground? So his brothers envied him, but his father awaited the matter. What are the problems in this family? How much time? We have like 2 minutes.
That some people don't like each other in the family.
Correct. What else? What other problems do we see in this family?
The parents have favorites.
There's favorites. Good observations. Any other problems we might see?
He's bragging about everything. Hmm? He brags about it.
He brags about everything. There's too much talking.
They talk too much.
Okay, talking too much brings trouble. Who's responsible for these problems? What do you think? What's your opinion of who's responsible?
It starts with Jacob.
Okay. Why does it start with Jacob?
Because he chose his favorite son, so that led to all of this.
So perhaps the cause is Jacob choosing a favorite, and that is the cause of everything. Any other thoughts on who might be responsible? Anyone else may be responsible?
I believe Joseph for being so handsome.
Joseph because?
He's so handsome.
He's so handsome. It's hard to be the gorgeous one in the family. That's always it's a burden to carry, right? You all know that. You all understand that personally. Anyone else you think might have any responsibility besides Jacob? They're all responsible. In what way?
Jacob is responsible for his behavior. Joseph is responsible for his arrogance, and the brothers are responsible for how they react.
Okay, so everyone has a piece. Everyone has a piece of this.
And where are the moms in all of this?
Now, I think has Rachel done? I'm sorry, I can't remember if Rachel. Rachel may be gone already. No. Oh, Benjamin's not born yet. Right. Okay. Yes. So no, she's still around. Okay, and last, what are some lessons we learn from this story about what's needed to create a healthy family?
Try not to get mad at each other and try to listen to each other.
Okay, always good advice. Joshua?
Everyone has to be happy.
Okay, everyone has to be happy. If one piece isn't happy, then nobody's happy.
Not bragging.
True, that sometimes bragging can cause resentment. Why this is the night I chose to wear heels, I don't know. That was poor planning.
But they look nice. parents should not have favorites, or if they do have favorites, they should not exhibit it the way Jacob did.
Okay, yeah, that was kind of throwing that favoritism around a little too blatantly. Okay, Connor, you'll wrap this up.
Be humble.
Be humble. Good advice. So one value we learn here, and then we'll move on with our service, is what we say has a real impact on other people. We need to be careful to think about the emotional impact of our words and our actions on others. There's importance in treating people fairly, in being sensitive with how our words will emotionally impact others, and in making everyone feel valued. Joseph did have a lot of gifts, but I'm sure his brothers had a lot of gifts in treating everybody as if they are created in God's image and they have a special gift to share. Please rise for Baruch Hu, page 17.
Bye.
God, I thank you. You created this world full of beauty and love, peace and wonder, life and hope. You formed morning, evening, the sun and the moon, the water that I drink and the fresh air that I breathe. You created me, my mind, my heart, my spirit. All that I am is because of who you made me to be. The best gift you gave me is freedom. You built a world in which I can learn and grow, a world that is never completed, so that I may continue to enrich it. For all of this, for all of your creations, I thank you and praise you, God.
I'd like to call up our sixth graders to help lead us in Shema and Vahafta. Come on up and do not fear the front part of the bima. Page 22. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Set these words which I command you this day upon your heart. Teach them faithfully to your children. Speak of them in your home and on your way, when you lie down and when you rise up. Bind them as a sign upon your hand. Let them be a symbol before your eyes. Inscribe them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Be mindful of all my mitzvot and do them. So shall you consecrate yourselves to your God. I, the Lord, am your God. Let the right hand of Egypt be your God. I, the Lord, am your God. Adonai, our God, you freed us from bondage in the land of Egypt. With courage, commitment, and community,
We crossed the sea and we rejoiced.
We seek redemption again, Adonai, from the bondage of hatred, the slavery of poverty, and the evil of violence in our world. Give us the courage to toll for wisdom, justice, and understanding. May we rejoice again in community, giving voice to one another in peace and harmony. Aloha in your service folder. Shamru, page 27. Piece of our Joseph story. For those of you who may not have seen Joseph in the Amazing Color Dream Coat, or maybe even have read the Torah version, a little catch up to what comes next. Joseph ends up with his brothers out in a sort of wilderness area, and they toss him into a pit, decide not to kill him, but sell him off into slavery, and he ends up being taken off into Egypt and then eventually into an Egyptian prison cell. So while in prison, he ends up listening to the dreams of two of his fellow prisoners, and he correctly predicts the future for both of them based on their dream. So one of these prisoners ends up in Pharaoh's circle, and Pharaoh, who is having these very troubling dreams, this man tells him, I know someone who can interpret your dreams from you. He's in your prison, and his name is Joseph. That brings us to our tale on page 2. And then as I read, the next thing we're going to share our opinions on is, do you feel anything about this story might have shown that Joseph has changed in the few years that have passed since we first heard him interacting with his brothers talking about his dreams? So Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they rushed him from the dungeon, and he shaved and he changed his clothes, and then he came to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter for it, but I have heard it said of you that you can understand a dream and interpret it. And Joseph replied to Pharaoh, saying, not I. God will give an answer that will bring you peace. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, in my dream, behold, I was standing on the bank of the Nile, and 7 cows of robust flesh and handsome form came up from the Nile, and they grazed in the marshland. And behold, 7 other cows were coming up after them, emaciated in a very ugly form and with meager flesh. I have not seen such ugly cows throughout the entire land of Egypt. And the meager and ugly cows devoured the first 7 healthy cows. And then I awoke. Then I saw in my dream, so back to sleep again, and behold, 7 ears of grain were growing on one stalk, full and good. And behold, 7 ears of grain, hardened and thin and beaten by the wind, were growing up after them. And the thin ears swallowed up the 7 good ears. And I told my court magicians, but no one can tell me its meaning. And Joseph said to Pharaoh, Pharaoh's dream is one. These two dreams are saying the same thing. What God is doing, he has told Pharaoh. The seven good cows are 7 years. The 7 good ears of grain are 7 years. It's one dream. The 7 ugly cows that came up after them are 7 years. The 7 empty ears of grain, they're 7 years of famine. So 7 years are coming where there's great plenty through Egypt, and 7 years of famine will come later, and the plenty will be forgotten. The famine will destroy the land. It will be very severe. So now, let Pharaoh seek out an understanding and wise man and appoint him over the land of Egypt. Appoint officials over the land. Prepare the land during the 7 years of plenty. Let them collect all the food of those good years and gather the grain under Pharaoh's hand and keep it. The food will remain as a reserve during the 7 years of famine, so the land will not be destroyed by the famine. The matter pleased Pharaoh and all his servants. So Pharaoh said, will we find anyone like this, a man in whom there is the spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has let you know all this, there's no one as understanding and wise as you. You shall be appointed over my household, and through your command, all my people shall be nourished. Only with the throne will I be greater than you. Joseph the golden boy rises again. So what do you think? Have you seen a change in Joseph in terms of how he uses dreams, how he talks about dreams? What do you think Pharaoh saw in Joseph? What's your opinion? Are you seeing any, what are you seeing in Joseph? Any differences, anything the same?
I think that the Pharaoh is saying that he's much greater than how he was with his brothers.
Okay, so Pharaoh maybe didn't know how he was with his brothers because he didn't know him then, but he's seeing something great in Joseph. Can you maybe think of one thing he might be seeing in Joseph that he's thinking is, wow, this is really great? Anything that might? What do you think?
He can tell you, like, what it means in your dream.
Okay, so he can interpret dreams. What else might be seeing, or Pharaoh might be seeing, or we see?
Well, God now enters the picture.
So say something about that.
Well, all of a sudden, I'm not interpreting the dreams, but God will tell me what they mean.
So there seems to be, was it Connor who was saying humility? Somebody was saying having humility before. So maybe there's a little humility to Joseph now. What else? Other ideas? What are we seeing? Any changes? What are you noticing?
Well, he's been through a hard couple years. He's been in slavery and he's been in prison. So I think these years have made him more empathetic or humble.
Very good. So we're seeing a process here that sometimes hard times in life can actually help us to grow. And what does it mean? What does it mean to be a dreamer? And is Joseph just a dreamer, or is there something else in this story? What do you think? Be brave. What do you think it means to be a dreamer? What are you seeing here? And is Pharaoh just seeing a dreamer, or is he seeing something else?
It means like someone to dream.
Okay. To dream big dreams. Okay. Any other? Yes. Is that a hand up? No.
So he's going beyond his dreams and making a recommendation on what to do, unlike some of our political folks.
He's a dreamer because he came to Egypt as a child.
And that makes him a dreamer? Oh, I see. I got it.
He's also not just thinking of himself, but the greater good for the whole society.
So we're seeing another change in him, that it's maybe not just all about me, but how can I make things better for everyone? And talking about a dream, it's not just, oh, isn't this great, I can tell the future, but it's like, let's plan for it, let's make it better. Just having a dream about the future doesn't mean as much as here's something that's going to happen that I can predict. Here's a plan for how to make everyone's life better when we know that there are hard times coming.
I'm not sure how humble he is. Okay. There's not a lot of people that'll say, God will talk through me. I'll tell you what God has to say. So while the dream is no longer about him, it's about the whole country, it's quite self-serving when he then gives the recommendation that results in his appointment.
So Joseph is maybe not radically different, but would you say there's at least a little bit of growth there, but okay.
I just want to disagree a little bit with that, because Joseph has no idea whether Pharaoh is going to accept this recommendation or not, so he has no idea that he's going to be appointed, you know, like number two in the land of Egypt. So that's what I find really interesting is the concept of you know, talking about God and Egypt, which is a very polytheistic society, except in the fact that this guy that was in jail is now talking about his God, and Pharaoh says, yep, okay, we'll do it.
Okay. Anything else? So Joseph is someone with a vision. He's a dreamer of dreams, an interpreter of dreams. And each of us has a personality trait, a gift, a way of seeing the world. We can use our gifts selfishly or to make the world better. Perhaps one lesson here is the key to growing as a person isn't to change who you are. It's using what makes each of us unique in a way that brings goodness to the world. We continue with Adonai Sifatai Tivtach, page 29. Please rise. Baruch Ata Adonai, Eloheinu Velohe Avotenu V'imotenu, Elohe Avraham, Elohe Yitzchak, Velohe Yaakov, Elohe Sarah, Elohe Rivka, Elohe Rachel, Velohe Leah, Ha'el Hagadol Hagibor V'hanora, El Elyon, Gomel Chasadim Tovim, V'kone Hakol, V'zocher chaste avot v'imahot, u'mevi gula livnei b'neihem, l'ma'an shmo v'yahava, melech ozer moshia u'magen, baruch ata Adonai, magen Avraham v'ezrat Sarah, ata gibor la'olam Adonai, mechaye hakol ata rav l'hoshia, mechalkel chayim v'chesed, Mechaye hako berachamim rabim, Somech nofim berofech holim, Umatir asurim, Umekayem emunato ishene afar. Mi chamocha baal gibrot, Mi domel lach, Melech meimit umechaye umasmiach yeshua, Ne'eman ata lachayot hakol, Baruch ata Adonai, Mechaye hakol. Bottom of page 32. Kadosh, 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 Adonai Tzvaot, Malocho Haaretz Kivodo. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with your glory. You may be seated. We feel deeply the need to pray for shalom this week. We pray for shalom, for peace, for our beloved land of Israel, our holy city of Jerusalem. We pray for shalom for those affected by the wildfires in California. We pray for shalom between family members and friends, between strangers here and around the world, for shalom within every heart. With hope and with joy, our prayers go out for the happiness that shalom brings to our world and the understanding that we have a hand in making shalom happen. Siyum Shalom is in your service folder.
Thank you.
Jewish communities around the world on this Shabbat are praying for our homeland. We together pray for the land of Israel on the bottom of page 43. We pray for Israel, her land, and her people. Protect her against hatred and war. May her promise bring comfort to those who seek refuge, equality, and acceptance. May Israel live to realize the hope of our prophet, that she be the light unto the nations. May the bond between Israel and Jews around the world be strengthened with mutual respect, as together we love Torah, cherish our history, and live true to our shared values and traditions. Amen. For all of those in pain, for those not quite whole in body or mind or spirit, our prayers join with God's compassion to bring comfort and strength for all in need. Misha Beirach, page 45. Of our hearts.
Peace. bring peace down, bring peace down. May the one who makes peace bring peace down, bring peace down. Oh, say shalom. May the one who makes peace bring peace down, bring peace down. May the one who makes peace bring peace down, bring peace down. May the one who makes peace bring peace down, bring peace down. May the one who makes peace bring peace down, bring peace down.
Our last piece of Joseph's story happens after the famine that Joseph predicted turned out to be real. And now, unbeknownst to Joseph's brothers, they are about to come face to face, unknowingly, with the brother they last saw being taken off as a slave. How does Joseph handle the situation, and what do you think about how he handles the situation? So let's read the gripping semi-conclusion of the Joseph story. Page 3. Jacob saw there was grain being sold in Egypt, so Jacob said to his sons, "Why do you sit there looking around, not doing anything?" And he said, "I have heard there is grain being sold in Egypt. Go down there and buy us some from there so we will live and not die." So Joseph's 10 brothers went down to buy grain from Egypt. But Joseph's brother Benjamin, Jacob did not send with his brothers because, as Jacob said, lest disaster befall him. So the sons of Israel came to purchase among those who came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan as well. It was a widespread famine. Now Joseph was the ruler over the land. It was he who sold grain to the entire population of the land, and Joseph's brothers came and bowed down to him with their faces to the ground. And Joseph saw his brothers, and he recognized them, but he acted like he was a stranger to them. And he spoke to them harshly and said, "Where do you come from?" And they said, "From the land of Canaan to purchase food." And Joseph remembered the dreams he had dreamed about them, and he said to them, "You are spies. You have come to scout out the vulnerability of the land." And they said to him, "No, my master, your servants have come to buy food. We're all sons of one man. We're honest. Your servants were never spies." And they said, "We, your servants, are 12 brothers, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is with our father today, and one is gone." And Joseph said to them, "This is what I've spoken to you, saying, 'You are spies. With this you shall be tested. By Pharaoh's life, you shall not leave this place unless your youngest brother comes here. Send one of you, let him fetch your brother, and you will be in prison, so your words will be tested whether truth is with you. And if not, as Pharaoh lives, you are spies.'" And he put them in prison for 3 days. What do you think?
He just really doesn't like them anymore.
Okay, you think he really doesn't like them anymore?
He's kind of like giving them karma back.
Interesting. So do you feel the treatment they're getting now is deserved because it's a consequence, it's just basically a consequence of their own behavior coming back at them?
They put him in prison, so now he's like, "I'll put you in prison."
Okay, so it seems fair. Measure for measure, as they say.
Oh, I forgot.
Okay, so you think about it.
It's sort of fair, considering what they did to him as they made him a slave.
Okay, so it seems fair.
It's fair because his brothers did something mean, so he should do something even meaner back.
Okay. Other thoughts? Ashley?
It's kind of like the dream he had earlier, where like they're all bowing down to him.
Yes, it kind of seems like that dream came true, doesn't it? Any different opinions?
I do think it is fair because they did sell him as a slave, and that is a terrible thing to do, especially as a brother.
Okay.
So he has to kind of get him back, teach him a lesson.
Okay.
Shouldn't he be better than
them? Shouldn't he be better than them?
Some nods.
He's got positional power.
He has power. Anybody else? Natural consequence? What's the difference between natural consequence? Do you think he's taking revenge, or is that too strong a word? He only puts them in prison for 3 days, okay. Do you think this should keep going on, or, you know, even you may or may not know how the story ends, but what do you think the resolution should be here? Any thoughts on that? How do you think this should all resolve?
That they make up and, like, be friends again.
Okay, so you think that would be a good ending to the story. And one, Shane, I'll let you have the last word. Shane and Joshua have the last word.
They make up and say sorry for what they did, and then they become a peaceful family again.
Okay, so that would be the ideal ending.
He gives his brothers the grain, and then he says that he's actually hit, like, and then they all go back to the house together.
So that sounds like a good Hollywood movie ending, doesn't it? So if you look on the bottom of page 4 later on, so this is a few chapters later, we do read, Joseph said to his brothers, I am your brother Joseph, he who you sold into Egypt. Now do not be distressed or reproach yourselves because you sold me. It was to save life that God sent me ahead of you to ensure your survival on earth. God and not you made me ruler over the land of Egypt. So he is now, Joseph is philosophically looking back and deciding that, you know what, I don't blame you for this. God had a plan, and it was all part of God's plan, and the badness, I'm seeing some heads shaking. No. So I don't believe Judaism teaches that we always need to see things this way. I don't think the point of this is to say we should always look at people who do, you know, who have done something terrible to us and say, it's okay, it was just part of God's plan. I don't think that is a necessary piece of the picture, but it does help Joseph find peace within his own heart and within his own soul to say, I'm letting go of this anger now. And I see that even this painful chapter in my life is part of a life that has turned out well. And even painful times can lead us to a good place. May we also find peace through the knowledge that hard times can bring us growth and new opportunities and greater appreciation of our blessings. Amen. We continue with Aleinu on page 53. Please rise.
Thank you.
Please be seated. There are, top of page 59, there are stars up above so far away we only see their light long, long after the star itself is gone. And so it is with people who we love. Their memories keep shining ever brightly, though their time with us is done. But the stars that light up the darkest night, these are the lights that guide us. As we live our days, these are the ways we remember. On this Shabbat, we conclude the year of mourning for our beloved and longtime member, Laura Schick. She lives on through our TBS community, and her name will be remembered each year at this time. We also remember fondly our members, Leon Bainwall, Carol Lewis, Ruth Margulies, Yetta Trachtenberg, Susan Feitelman. We mourn the losses in the last 30 days for our members, Harold Simpson, uncle of Jamie Adams, Bernard Dolberg, father of David Dolberg, Ethel Beagleman, grandmother of Andrew Glicklin, Michael Tomaszpolski, cousin of Irene Kaznachi, Harvey Fader, friend of Rabbi Amy Perlin, and Sheldon Miller, very beloved member of TBS, father to Steve Miller, who keeps our community safe and secure, and our hearts are with you and your family. We remember also the yearly anniversary of the Yahrzeits this week. Belle Cohn, Roland Bud Crawford, Abraham Herring, Anita Konigsberg, Nancy Miller, Jean Braun, Herb Druckmann, Julius Jasper, Pat Klein, Susan Sinwell, Esty Zausner, Rebecca Baer, Hannah Freilich, Raymond Nemeth, Jane Bachneck, Ruth Hafitz, Albert Snyder, Irene Jacob, Ben Sidor, Evelyn Spitalnik, Gersh Toulman, Beverly Zimmerman, Bernice Balish, Stanley Mulstein, Jim Normandy, Ron Remias, Leo Zimmerman, Stephen Beck, Lee Fruman, Eileen Shovers, Tim Farr, Dr. Lewis Gray, Leo Mintz, Dr. Manny Ross, Murray Horwitz, and Golda Meir. We rise as a congregation to honor their memories with Kaddish, page 60. Yitgadal v'yitgadash Shemei Rabbah, v'alma divarach yirutei v'yamlich malchutei, b'chayechon uv'yomechon uv'chayei d'chol Beit Yisrael, ba'gala v'izman kari v'imru amen. Yehe Shmei Rabbah Mevarach Le'alam Olmei Almaya Yitbarach V'yishtabach V'yitpa'ar V'yitromam V'yitnase V'yitadar V'yitale V'yitalal Shmei D'kudsha Berichu Le'elam Min Kol Berachata V'shirata Tushbachata V'nechemata Dami Ran V'alma V'imru Amen Yehe Shlama Rabbah Min Shemaya V'chayim aleinu v'al kol Yisrael, v'imru amen. O se shalom b'mromav, hu yase shalom, aleinu v'al kol Yisrael, v'imru amen. From this sacred moment of memory, we invite up our sixth and seventh graders to help us lead Kiddush on page 61.
Seventh day is consecrated to the Lord our God. With wine, a symbol of joy, we celebrate this day and holiness. We give thanks for all our presence, for life and health,
for work and rest,
for home and love, and for protection. And for God, who tells us our creation, remember that we are created in the divine image. Therefore, we
have the thanksgiving with nice full kiddish voices. Baruch atah Adonai
Eloheinu melech haolam.
Here if you have any questions.
We're also excited for TBS Game Night coming up on December 25th. We will bring the Chinese food, and you bring the games, for a great game event for all ages. It will take place here, 12 to 3. Please RSVP to Jim Sturm if you're interested. My family went last year. We had a blast, and we'll be again there this year. We've got to come back and win. For anyone seeking our alternative Shabbat service, please join us tomorrow morning for Minyan News. There's a light breakfast at 8:15, followed by Shabbat morning service at 8:45. After tonight's service, please join us at O'Day in the social hall. If you're new to TBS or have any other questions or would like more information, our membership committee and members of the board would love to speak with you. Tonight, we are so fortunate. Our representative is not just a membership person, but the first vice president, Sue Calloway. From my family to yours, have a peaceful and restful Shabbat and a wonderful week. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. We will go out with our blessing for the way, Tefillat HaDerech, so everyone needs to rise, and you may sway with someone next to you with their permission. Tefillat HaDerech on page 64. May God bless you with opportunities to bring peace and wholeness to our community, our country, our homeland, our world. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.